All righty. Thank you for being here tonight. And we're in the middle of our spring break. Looking forward to our group coming back from their trip. I call it a missions trip, a senior trip. And we're looking forward to that. And we're getting into the, as we start the year, it starts a little slow, but we're getting into the fuller part of our schedule coming up. And it's very exciting. We're excited about the bus. It's not just the bus banquet. The first hour is for the bus ministry, but anybody can come. The second hour, we're just talking about what we can do to reach people in the spring. And so if you work in a ministry, we encourage you very strongly to come. And if you come for the food, you will have a good time with that. Brother Chim always does a really, really good job. And so we're looking forward to that. And then we get into the spring program, and we're really excited about that. And so I hope that you are a part of that. And then Easter Sunday, let's make sure we get our tracts in. Be with us to pass those out. And always have some with you, okay? There are certain days that are just natural for people to come to church, and that is Easter. And those of you who've been here for a while, you know, I say it every year, but I became a Christian on Easter Sunday because somebody, my friend, Joe Esposito, invited me to come with him to church because it was Easter Sunday. And so I came, and I got saved on that day. And so it can be a life-changing experience. We are back in the book of Proverbs. We've been in it for a while, and it's a very, very good book. It's a book of wisdom. It's a book that teaches us principles that we can incorporate into our lives. And as we incorporate them into our lives, that's where wisdom comes from. It's not just knowing a fact. It is living a truth. And so that's what wisdom is, and we've been looking at it. We've been looking at Proverbs specifically from some of its teachings about what we should avoid, okay? Being a Christian we're supposed to be is not just about the things that we do that we are supposed to do. It's also about the things that we don't do that we need to avoid that can be very detrimental. And we've been looking at many of them. We're not going to go back over them. We started on number 12, cited prudence, okay? Prudence. Why do we use the word cited? Because prudence has to do with how we look at things, particularly the future, based on what we're doing in the present. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 8, he says, "The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way, but the folly of fools is deceit." Now, we've explained this verse a little. We'll get a little more into some things. We're really at the front end of explaining what prudence is. So the key word here is prudence. That's the key word. When we're looking at how the future will play out in our lives based on the actions that we are currently taking or the decisions we are currently making, that's what prudence is. We started to give a few definitions of prudence. We gave you the first one. It's still there, and there's, I think you have a blank, but we went over this last week. Prudence, to be prudent means having wisdom by using caution, foresight, looking ahead, and discretion in decision making. A lot of it has to do with the decisions that we make. And to be really honest with you, the majority of people, we make decisions so quick, we don't think about any of the ramifications. We don't take a few minutes to step back. I would tell you this, if ever you feel pressured to make a decision, don't make a decision based on the fact that you're feeling pressured. That's usually a time that says, let me step back, right? Maybe you're emotional. Don't make a decision when you're emotional. That's the time to step back, take a look at the situation, get under control. I'd rather make the right decision a little bit late than the wrong decision quickly. Does that make sense? And so let's be very careful about that. Now, we didn't look at this last week. There's a new definition we're going over. Prudence is when we have the ability to make wise decisions by considering the consequences before acting. Considering the consequences before acting. I hope you understand that when you're making decisions, you should take some time. People make life-changing, life-altering decisions, and they either don't take the time or they lock in and they don't think about things before that decision takes effect. And when you're doing that, you're looking disaster straight in the face. You need to be very careful. We just looked at our last point about the heart, right? What do people tell you? Follow your heart. That's a really bad idea. There is nothing good about following your heart. You know, that's just how I've always felt. How many of you have ever felt something and you found out later it was wrong? Right? Okay. How many ever felt something you wanted to do that you knew wasn't right? Don't follow that. Let it float through and go out the back door, okay? But if we follow our heart, then we don't have prudence, and we make decisions based on emotions, based on desires, and our desires are inherently sinful, and we're going to make that decision, and we're not going to think about the consequences of that decision. I could give you a lot of illustrations of this, because in our country, there are a lot of things going on that people are thinking of and making decisions on based on emotions, right? And this is not, you know, you can delve into the political here, but I delve into the political when it has to do with the moral, what God says, okay? What they're doing to children when they try to transition them at a young age is absolutely ridiculous. A child, look, these Hollywood actors and actresses, and I don't know their names, I've seen the stories, you know, they have children as young as 2 or 3, they're like, well, he's a boy, but he wants to be a girl. I know kids that have told me they wanted to be a fire truck. I didn't paint them red and say, here, hold this hose. They're children. And if you talk to individuals about that, they don't talk sensibly about it. They talk emotionally about it. And by the way, you can pick a lot of different areas. I need to give an illustration, so this is the one. But you can look at a lot of different areas. Logically, it doesn't make sense. Medically, it's very damaging. The stuff, look, and I guess I will say it. Someone has to say it, right? They give these kids puberty blockers and say that it's reversible. Do you know what they used to give rapists back in the day when they were convicted? They gave them puberty blockers because it made them sterile. That was their punishment for being a rapist. But now we'll lie and we'll give it to children and lie to the parents and tell them it's irreversible. And by the way, surgery on a person is not irreversible. And how many young people had swallowed a lie and they're going to get up in their 20s or whatever and they're going to regret those decisions because there wasn't an adult that had I was going to say a brain, but I want to be nice tonight, with the common sense to say, this is, back away from this. But you talk to them like, you don't want to give them the surgery, you're literally killing them. What? There's no common sense there. But we, in our society, and you could just pick all different categories, not just stuff that we would consider moral, but political, just pick all kinds of stuff. People think emotionally. And when you think emotionally, here's the bad part. You won't think about the consequences in the future. Now, I'm not for, at any age, someone doing that to their body. Because I don't think... Look, I don't think. I know for a fact if you were born a man, you're always a man. If you were born a girl, you're always a girl. You can put a dress on if you're a guy, but all you are is a guy in a dress. But it's hurtful. And it's an emotional thing. Instead of maybe talking to somebody and helping them. And so we make these emotional decisions, and it's like, okay, have you thought about, you just pick a decision. Have you thought about it? Have you thought about, you know, what are the pros? What are the cons? Is there anything that bad that can happen about this? And really the first question is, did God speak about it? But when people don't want to give the right answers, they give emotional answers. And so we got to be careful because our heart pulls us in the wrong direction. And so that's something we all fight. But think about the consequences. You think about people that get involved with a sin. We get so close to the particular sin that all we see is ourselves doing it because we've got so close to it that we can't stop and think about what would be the consequences down the line if I allowed myself to get involved with this, right? And so so prudence says, what are the potential consequences if I make this decision on both sides? Next, prudence is the ability to govern and discipline oneself through reason and wisdom. So if I think through the consequence of the action and I understand the importance of the decision making, I have to have the ability and the discipline in myself to make me go through with the right thing. Because I'm sure you understand this, the right thing sometimes is not always the easiest thing to do in the moment, right? Sometimes the easiest thing to do in the moment is the wrong thing. But when you think of the potential consequences, you're like, you know what? I'm going to take the time to do the right thing, even though it might be a little harder, because I know that the payoff is at the end. I think I told this in Sunday school. If not, I'm having a senior moment, but I'm not a senior. They did a study. Was it about the marshmallow? They did a study many, many years ago, and they put kids in a room, and they gave them a marshmallow, and they said, now, we're going to step away for a few minutes. I think it was like 15, 20 minutes. They said, if you will wait and not eat your marshmallow, when we come back, we'll give you another one, and you can have two. But if you want, you can eat your marshmallow right away, but that's the only one you get. And the teacher walked out, and they walked out, and they were, you know, this window where they could see in, but the kids couldn't see them. A lot of the kids just right away, like, I ain't waiting, I'm eating the one I got. There were certain ones that waited. They said some of them, like, looked at it and was like, you know, they were getting real close to grabbing it, but they talked themselves out of it. Those kids got the second marshmallow when teachers came back. But here's why they did the study. They followed those children into adulthood. When they got to adulthood, guess what they found out? The children that had the discipline to wait to get the second marshmallow were the successful ones in life. They were the ones that, you know, they accomplished more and they did more. The ones that had issues in life were the ones that did not wait. Now, that's what prudence does. Prudence not only says, I got to make the right decision and I got to understand the consequences, then you have to have the fortitude to follow through. I've talked to people before that have made decisions. We'll talk about something, and here's my options, and we'll talk it through, and they understand what the right decision is, and then the next day they went ahead and did the opposite. Well, you know, I just couldn't wait. That's not prudence. And so prudence is very, very important. So if prudence has to do with making decisions, then decisions, very important, are how we govern ourselves, right? By the way, we all need to govern ourselves. Now, let me backtrack here. If we're saved, the Spirit of God indwells in us, and we have the Spirit's direction to help us to have the discipline if we'll follow through. But we govern ourselves by decisions. But the next thing is, the reason most people can't govern themselves is because they're not disciplined. You see, you have to have both aspects, do you not? You have to have the wisdom from God's word to know what the right decision is, figure it out, and make it, but you got to take that next step. You got to follow through with it. A lot of people have, that's the part they struggle with. Fact of the matter is, a person that has trouble having discipline in their life, they typically don't even take the time to stop and make the right decision. They just jump in. And so we have to understand how important it is. That's why it's important as parents, we don't just let our children grow up and give them everything they want. Right? Fact of the matter is, when a child throws a fit about wanting something, that's the time to say no. Whether they want, whether you were, if I was thinking of giving one of my kids something, they threw a fit, all of a sudden I thought opposite. Because they need to learn, you don't get something by throwing a fit. You don't get something by throwing yourself on the ground and doing the cockroach dance and screaming. It's like, no, we're not going to play that game. Get up. You don't get it now. Okay, and you know what happens? Kids are really smart. They'll figure it out. That's why a kid, for one person, can be out of control, but for another person, they can be under control. You know why they do that? They know that they can't get away with that person. So teach them, hey, you know what? Life's not about you getting what you want. You know how you get what you want in life? Other than following God, which is the whole thing. But you know what I'm saying? It's by having the discipline to do what you're supposed to do. That gets you to where you're supposed to be. And so if we have parents, it's a really good idea to help our children with that. Now, what I just talked about is really the far end about emotional thinking. But that's not what most of us do. Most of us, even if we don't make it in a fit of emotion, we make decisions without considering the long-term consequences. That's the biggest thing. By the way, that's what, and I'm not going to go over it, I've taught it many times from the book of James, you know the verses. That's why the book of James tells us that's why temptation is successful. Satan throws a bait out there, and the bait he gives each and every one of us is our lust or our desires, and he knows what is our weakness. And so he throws the bait out there, and the purpose of bait is to get your eyes off of the consequences, right? You go, I've used this illustration, you go fishing, you put bait on the hook. Why do you put bait on the hook? We want something that the fish likes, and we want something that the fish says, wow, I want that. You know, it's like, hey, why is that hanging from a string? Oh, well, because we want them to see the bait, not the hook. You know, you put a rat trap, right? Peanut butter, what works? Peanut butter, chocolate? You put it on that little glue trap. What do? Free food. They run to the food, and then all of a sudden, they can't move. They looked at the food. They didn't look at the glue. That's what, when we don't look at the consequences, that's what happened. Ooh, this looks good. This looks right, but we're not seeing the hook, as it were. The hook is to keep you from seeing the bait. By the way, what happened to Eve? God told her, don't eat from the tree of the fruit, the tree of knowledge. And she wasn't until she got all messed up by Satan, and she looks at it and said, you know, that looks good. I mean, that fruit looks really good. I mean, never mind that every other tree in the universe was available to her. She focused on the one fruit, on the one tree. And once her focus was on the fruit, she was done. And she went for it, not understanding that the consequences were coming. So with that as a bit of an introduction here, what are some of the good qualities that we can associate with prudence? First of all, and some of these are going on, thinks before acting. Thinks before acting. Proverbs 21:5. The thoughts of the diligent tend only to plentiness. But of everyone that is hasty, only to want. What does the word want mean? It means lack. He says here, if a person is diligent, they'll think this thing through, and that'll lead them to getting plentiness. They will get some things. They will get some fruit. They will get some whatever they're going after. But everyone that is hasty and just acts, and they don't think before they act, they come up empty-handed. Thinks before acting. By the way, that's a really good thought. Don't act unless you thought it through. Look at what's going on, right? Don't just react. Well, this is the thing we should do. Well, no, life's not like that, right? Do you understand life fluctuates? By the way, you look, if you like football, you know what the difference between a good quarterback and an average quarterback is? Talent being equal. One You send in a play. We used to do it. You know, hey, our guys, I coach football. I'd send in a play. Run the play, okay? And then, so they're going to run the play. But what if the defense is set up to stop that play? See, a good quarterback, he knows the play, and he looks at the defense and says, that won't work. We need to switch it up a little bit. Doesn't just, let's just run the play. Like when I coach our guys, our play had four or five different options depending on where people were standing. Throw it this way, run that way, look and see where they're at, what's open. But, you know, these guys that can't think, they're just like, oh, throw it. There's a guy standing there, I'll throw it. Well, you called the play. Well, the guy's standing there. You have to adjust. And when you're making decisions, you got to look at things because stuff, and like, wait a minute, what? No. This won't work because this will come into play. But we don't think. The problem is we just don't want to think anymore. We want to put ourselves on autopilot and just do what everybody else is doing. You've got to think things through. Take the time. It is worth it. Hasty people end up with nothing. And not only thinking ahead, thinking before acting, the next book, plan ahead. Plan ahead. Make plans. Do you know nothing happens on accident, right? It's got to be figured out. Look at these stories in Luke. Now, this is under the context of, I will tell you the context, but you can apply it other ways. The context of this chapter is being a disciple. Being a not just being a Christian, but being a disciple of Christ, a learner. Doing, you know, really being serious about your faith. And Jesus is telling them, hey, this is a pretty big decision. You need to think about it. You need to plan ahead here. If you're willing to follow through. So here's the illustrations he gives. Verse 28 there. And which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it, lest happily after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish it. What's he saying? And this is in the context of deciding to follow Christ. That's a big decision, right? By the way, a prudent man looks at that and says, following Christ, benefits and blessings. Not following Christ, no benefits, no blessings. But he says, it's like the guy that sits down and says, I'm going to build this tower. He has a construction project. And he sits down and says, let's just go for it. No, you sit down first and like, okay, how much is this going to cost? Right? You know, let's get some bids on this. What is the time frame? Are we able to do it? Do we have the money? Or, as we've learned here, can you raise some money? So that type of thing. Because the worst thing you could do is start, and then all of a sudden, you know, you quit building and you never go back to it because you don't have enough. You got to think, you got to plan ahead. Can this get done? He gives another illustration. Verse 31. Or what king going to make war against another king sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000. Here's a guy that's going to go to war. I got 10,000 soldiers. They got 20,000. I don't know about you, but that's 2-1 in the negative. Verse 32, or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desireth conditions of peace. Now, if your 10,000 guys are like Samson, you're good. 20,000 is nothing. If you have Gideon's 300 and you got God's promise, 20,000 are nothing. But you may look at the situation and say, we are going to get annihilated. So what does a wise king do? He says, let's send out somebody out there and let's negotiate and see if we can head this off before we go to war. Let's see if we can fix this. That's called planning ahead. The average person doesn't plan ahead in their life. And we could go into many different areas, but that's not the principle for tonight, right? We're not good with our finances because we don't plan ahead. We don't plan ahead. We make decisions for our family that we're not planning ahead for. We make decisions about a career. We make all these different decisions, and we don't think ahead. And then we get into it, and it's like, ugh. Now I gotta switch midstream. Okay? And so plan ahead. Next, avoids unnecessary risk. Now, by the way, I gotta back on this one. I'm good with risk. Sometimes Calculated risk is good. How many know what I'm talking about? But absolutely fully ridiculous risk is not good. You haven't thought it through. You didn't plan ahead. You're just, bless God. If God's in it, we're going to go. That's not very smart. Okay? Some things are called, it's like the story I heard. A guy told a preacher one time and said, I am so convinced that God knows the day of my death and has already planned it. And I'm so convinced that I'm not going to die until God wants me to die that I could run across the freeway blindfolded in rush hour traffic, and if it's not God's day for me to die, I'm not going to die. And the preacher looked at him and said, if you do that, it's your day to die. Yeah. Right? That's just ignorance. That's not common sense. And so, but sometimes we do risky things. How many have ever done something risky and it's like in the back of your mind, it's like, this is probably not a good idea, but you just kind of go with it anyhow? Yeah. Come on, we've all done that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, you get that text, hey, make sure you send your money in for this. It's from a number you've never heard of. And it's a guy in Ethiopia or India, and you give him your credit card. Okay, if something's not ringing true, take some time. Don't just run in. Okay, so he says here, go not forth hastily to strive, lest thou know not what to do in the end, and when thy neighbor have put thee to shame. You know what he's saying? Don't go just run in to get in a fight, lest thou know what to do in the end thereof. Say, when thy neighbor hath put thee to shame. You weren't ready for this, buddy. Okay? You're just going to run in there and you're going to get clocked. Remember a guy when we were teenagers, I won't tell you what we were doing, but one guy was talking trash to this other guy, and I'm like, don't do that. That guy is, you know, oh, come on, you punk. And the guy goes, stop. And he kept pressing him, and the guy just jumped up and kicked him in the face real quick. And he said, I'm good, I'm good. I'm like, yeah, I mean, you should have saw that up front. The guy was twice your size, man. Don't take a chance. But what we do is we rush into something, and then we come out with a bloody nose and a broken arm, and it's like, stop. That wasn't worth taking the risk. Now, if God does, you know, God says, I want you to go be a missionary to the other part of the earth, you know, country, and you're that's a good risk, right? That's like, I've never done this, and man, but God's telling me to go, let's do this. That's a good risk. Just deciding to go do something foolish or something in your soul is telling you this is not the right decision to make, that's a bad risk. Next, a prudent man uses knowledge wisely. He uses knowledge wisely. Through wisdom is a house builded, and by understanding it is established. And by knowledge thy chambers shall be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. You're building something. You take the time to put the plan together, and then you build it and you establish it, and it's firm and it's strong. And not only that, it's furnished. Why? Because you had knowledge. The thing we need to think of when it comes to knowledge, what is God saying here? You look at any area of your life, the Bible in one way or another is going to talk about it. And you got to, what does God say about this? I want to get God's mind. I don't just want my mind. By the way, we can kind of even know, like, I think this is the right thing to do, but you need to check it against Scripture. But is God telling me something very specific? By the way, that works two ways, right? One way, God may very specifically say, yeah, you know, you learn something in Scripture, say, that's how I'm supposed to handle that. But sometimes we think something is right, and we go after it. And if we looked in the Bible, it would be, God would consider it absolutely wrong. You know, you meet some person and like, oh, wow, this person's God's will for my life. God wants me to marry him. They're not even a Christian. I don't have to pray about that. Oh, I'm going to pray about it. You don't need to pray. God has already said. Okay? You're going to have in-law problems. You're of God and they're not. I'm not saying they're a bad person. I'm just saying, if you're a solid Christian and you're with someone that's not saved and doesn't even understand, she may be pretty, he may be handsome, you guys may get along together, but then you start having kids. And you want to raise them one way, they want to raise them another. Then you start having to make financial decisions. And you might understand it from God's perspective, and they don't. You may have things that are very important and value, that you have value in your life, priorities, they don't have those. And I don't care how beautiful she is, and I don't care how handsome he is, that's not gonna work. You gotta be on the same page. And so if God has spoken on it, let him speak. And then next, and we've talked a little about this, it exercises self-discipline. That's the vital cog. You can have everything lined up and in place, but if you don't have the discipline to follow through with what you've thought about, what you've been directed by God to do, if you don't have the self-discipline to do it, you won't do it. I mentioned a book years ago, Pastor Esposito had it, have us read. It was called Execution. Not getting rid of people, okay? So, you know, getting rid of unwanted family. No, that's not what it was. But the whole, I read it, and I don't remember most of it. I just remember the premise. You can have all the greatest plans in the world, but if you don't execute them, they don't work. Action. You've got to have action. You know what the action of making the proper decisions is? It's discipline to do it. You know what the action of sitting, it takes the discipline to put the plan together, but just to follow through. And by the way, sometimes we have a plan and we know what the right thing is and we start to do it and things get a little rough. And because things get a little rough, we start to question it. If it's the right thing and God's told you to do it, just, you'll get through the rough times. You will. Don't let the rough times get you down. In fact, God will usually use those to strengthen you to get through on the back end. But it's self-discipline. Look at what Titus says. We always talk about the grace of God, right? For the grace of God that bringeth salvation, and let's just be thankful, that's why we're saved, because of grace of God. And it hath appeared to all men. But you know, after you're saved, there's a secondary aspect of grace, and here it is, teaching us. It teaches us. It saves us. But then after we're saved, it teaches us. Because God is gracious enough not just to save us and to leave us on our own in this world. God is gracious enough to save us and work in our life in this world. And he does that by his grace teaching us some things. And not only that, it empowers us to do these things. Look what it says. Teaching us that denying ungodliness. I've heard people, as Christians, do things that God maybe would say is ungodly, and then they would excuse it by saying, I'm under grace. It's okay because I'm under grace. What does grace teach us? We should deny those things. And worldly lust. Now, keep your halos off. Our flesh just desires things in this world that aren't right. You say, well, Pastor, I've been a Christian for a while. When am I going to have to stop fighting those desires? When you die. The flesh always rears its ugly head. But the grace of God says deny that. You can deny it. You can. We should live soberly. That doesn't mean don't drink, although you shouldn't drink. It means be serious. Okay? There's a time to have a good time. There's a time to, you know, joke around. There's all of that. But when it comes to the key things of life, we have to think seriously about them. We have to say, hey, this is, you know, one of the reasons we don't make right decisions is because we don't see the seriousness of it. But when you stop and think about the consequences, as we mentioned earlier, then you see the seriousness of it. It's like, look, if you take the wrong road, right? When you first take the wrong road, you're really close to the other road. But as you go, those roads get farther and farther apart. Remember years ago, we left to go visit my in-laws on vacation, and we left, like, I probably shouldn't have. I worked all day, and we left at, like, 1 in the morning. And when we got to the split on the 99 on the 5, I'm supposed to go on the 5. I was having a good time. We were making good time. Coffee was good. And I'm like, you know, none of this looks familiar. It's like I was on the 99. And we went quite a way. So I'm like, I got to get back to, and this is back before GP, I got to get back to the 5. And I got on some little country road and drove for a long time through, you know, fields and farmland, and I finally found my way back to the fire. But the farther I went, the farther I was getting away. I mean, just a while ago, we were neck and neck. So you look at the consequences and say, you know, I'm going this different direction. It's okay, but where's it going to end up? Two different locations. That we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. The key to that is having the self-discipline to understand all of that and to make the decisions in my life, decisions that would deny godliness and worldly lust and would cause me to seriously live righteously and godly in this present world. And if you really want to boil it down, there's two options that they gave us there. The worldly lusts, ungodliness, and then righteously. Those are two different planes. And what does prudence do? Prudence makes the decision to go on the righteous path. It makes a decision that if I do these things, these consequences will bring about spiritual results, not negative consequences. And that's what it'll do. We'll stop there and finish next week. Let's stand together if we may. We'll pray, and then we will be dismissed. Thank you for being here. If you have kids in Patch, my wife would appreciate it if you pick them up. We love kids. We just don't want to take them home. Amen? So thank you for being here. We're looking forward to a great, great weekend Saturday. I encourage you, if you come out at all, if you're in rest home ministry, Sunday school, whatever, come early. We come here at 9:30. We have a quick prayer and faithfulness rally, go over some announcements, pray for a few minutes, and then we all go out. And we would love to have you be a part of that and pray with the church family. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for loving us, and thank you for the word of God. And Lord, thank you for the things it teaches us, things that are very and very important and practical. And prudence is one of those things. Lord, help all of us. We all face decisions in life, some of them very major. And Lord, I pray you just help us to make the decisions correctly with your mind. And Lord, that we would think it through and do these things that prudence teaches us. Bless us as we go our way tonight until we meet together again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.